Okay, I'd like to open the Finance Judiciary Committee tonight, Thursday, June 6, 2024. And I guess any changes to the agenda?
No.
Okay, approval of the minutes.
You might want to mention, you have a member that's...
Oh, Sandy is not here today. She might be able to come a little later, but she isn't here. Councilor Seneca is here, so we're good. Okay, now approval of the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the February 1st, 2024 minutes. I guess you have to second.
I second that. I'll do double duty. Okay, any public comments for items not listed on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to spending authority with the finance director, Mike Crocker.
Okay. So this all relates to the update for Resolution 1004. And my concern was really initially with just the amounts, because this the last time this was updated was in 2009. So everything that has to do with spending authority is contained in this resolution. And spending authority has to do with staff, individual staff members' authority to spend. And so it's really an operating, procedure kind of at the finance level, because it pertains to, now it does define, I don't know if you had a chance to look through this, it's a little long, but I did go through it to kind of get an idea of what's all in there. But it pertains to, for example, when we're processing accounts payable and I need to know who's signing off on this invoice and do they have enough spending authority to spend that much money. So your basic requirements, it's actually fairly simple. You've got your city administrators at $15,000, and then below him is your department heads at $5,000 each. And then the resolution does state that department heads are allowed to delegate their full spending authority. And part of the one thing that I've seen in the last few years is that departments tend to delegate their full authority. Your bigger operating departments, police and public works, it's pretty much required because they have too many bills coming through with too large of amounts to necessarily have the public works director, review all those. He needs to be able to spread out that work. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. So I was thinking initially, I thought, oh, we'll just update the amounts and it'll be, pretty straightforward. Now, I don't know if you're familiar, how familiar you are with the spending, kind of how that's monitored. By the way, this is also always a point that the auditors look at, I would say fairly closely. When they're looking through expenditures,
sure,
they're also looking at who authorized that expenditure. And that audit step actually is done not just for large items, but also they want to see, is our internal control really working? Are we really enforcing it? So, and we do. I will... that's up to me to review. So I'm looking, when payables come through, I look at invoices and who authorized it. Mm-hmm. So you have, there are some department staff, they're usually, like in public works, your special programs coordinator, your superintendent, of course. But there are, and there are some other people that have smaller limits, like in community services, they won't have $5,000, but they'll have something dedicated to them, which might be $1,000 or something. Like, I think Terry probably has something like $1,000 because she orders office supplies and things.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, and then beyond the city administrator's limit, 15, those things come to council. And I don't know, when I was reading through this, it was talking about, there's actually some things that I'd forgotten were in here about how the city administrator, you know, what things he can do. And in fact, I was going to kind of mention, let's see, if you want to look at the resolution. Like I was on page 2, item 4, scope applies to all city staff. And then it talks about the city administrator. Now, there are amounts in here for emergency situations, and you can see those are going to be more across the board. Like your department heads in an emergency situation, as defined in this resolution, is $10,000 instead of the $5,000. And then 6.1 is the paragraph that covers the delegating of spending authority. Anyway, it is kind of interesting to me to see that this resolution covers quite a bit of ground. I think there is some language that needs to be updated. So I think legal is going to need to review this, and she's going to have some opinions. There are also some things I realized that the city administrator is probably going to need to be made aware of and make a recommendation. Does something need to change, or is it okay? And then there's a paragraph in here about the finance director's review, so all of that is actual current procedure. So, because I do look at them as close as I can for the number of expenditures. So, there isn't any particular hurry on this, so don't feel like you need to make a recommendation. I was, like I said, at first I thought we'll just update the amounts and go on, it'd be kind of easy. And then I realized how much meat there is in here. And so then I kind of changed my thoughts, and I was thinking if, well, for one, like I mentioned, I think it needs legal review. So maybe the best approach going forward is to get that legal review and then bring it back to you.
Okay.
Also getting, you know, the city administrator's thoughts on it.
On the, where a department head can give somebody else in the department permission to spend, how does that work? I mean, did they say, okay, Hattie can spend 500, or...
Well, actually, there is a paragraph about that in here somewhere.
I must have missed it.
But the bottom line is that finance... I think the paragraph or the language in here says it has to be in writing.
Okay,
so
that...
So the department head.
Okay.
So, typically in the past, I have kept a notebook on my shelf that is the current spending authorities.
Okay.
So if Jason gives spending authority to, like, Kitty, a certain amount to Kitty and a certain amount to Terry,
okay,
there's a document for that that he signs, and finance keeps the original on that. And then we have it, like the accounts payable person, Jordan, that you met, so she's the first check on that, where when she, and, you know, there aren't that many people, so it's kind of easy to remember
yeah.
after a very short time. And so she knows if she gets an invoice and it's for a certain staff member and it's way over their limit. Plus, she probably doesn't like it when I give them back to her and say, you know,
yeah.
all the authority you need here to pay this. So anyway, so that's how that happens. If they want to change it, they just let me know and I give them a new form to fill out.
Okay.
And so we have one for every department, police, public works, City Hall, the main ones, community services, too.
Yeah, I just was real curious on how that worked. I mean, whether, you know, Gary can say to somebody, you run down such and such, your limit is such and such, and but there is a record of it. That
yeah.
It, okay.
Yeah, it's tracked very closely. I just saw that paragraph, so I know it's here. Oh, here it is, 6.2. Yeah, that's tracked very closely.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Generally, the auditors... want a copy of those. need to know what that is, and then they go check as they look at our expenditures.
Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting. Like I say, there's a whole bunch of stuff in here.
So if it goes to legal and then comes back, could we look at what comes back and maybe have what was changed highlighted?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But that, because then it makes it easier to see like what the recommendations were from legal or the changes made.
I've got to check with legal on what I can put in the packet. They're a little careful about, you know, what staff puts in the packet that comes from them that becomes public record.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so I don't have to sit but down
sure
with both of them next to each other and go, like, line by line, like, oh, okay, there's something.
You might think about the spending level amounts.
That's just what
so
I was...
So the basic amounts are really $5,015 is really the main ones. I mean, there is the emergency clauses and stuff, but those are the main ones. You know, everything else, this doesn't affect anything else. This is really just a, for staff, what, you know, what are their limits? This doesn't affect things like the procurement rules, the city's purchasing rules, the contracts, the procedures where the city administrator is bringing you things, like they're either over his spending limit or it's maybe something else that he's more comfortable in council reviewing
mm-hmm.
than him just making, you know, a decision, even though he could based on the spending authority. So none of that changes. It's really just the...
What do you think, Mike? I mean, what are your thoughts on the amounts?
Is, so in 2009, if you think about the prices, I've looked at inflation to see what it was over the last 15 years. And it's not quite, I kind of expected that I would see that prices had doubled. I don't think we're quite at doubling yet. But if you think about a staff member and you want them to buy some supply, like Gary, let's say, you know, $5,000 of supplies. In 2009, you know, that $5,000 is going to buy a whole lot more than it will now. So do you really want your staff member to have to go through extra procedure and wait just because now he can't buy whatever that is, 100
mm-hmm.
pallets or, you know, 10 pallets of something? But now they can only buy 5, so to buy 10, they got to go through the city administrator. I mean, you really don't want to reduce the spending ability of your, like, take public work staff. You know,
right.
That's a good example. So that's the way I look at it. And it also really increases the amount of kind of overhead for finance, too, because that means if there's... you know, more things have to go through, more authorization, you know, or higher level, you know, that means your city administrator is getting more stuff. Right now, actually, I'm kind of surprised that we're not having more trouble on that issue, but we do get things like, it's just standard stuff. We have a lot of routine things, like the power bills that are routinely larger than that. But some supply things, like today we paid the solid waste disposal, and that's about $15,000-$16,000 a month. So,
wow.
You know, it kind of seems like if prices have doubled, then it kind of seems like these numbers should be twice as much as they were in
mm-hmm.
2009. Plus, if you want to think ahead,
right?
Which I don't know if you would want to do that, but anyway, but just catching up. You know, maybe they should be able, maybe the department's head should have 10,000 and city administrator should have 30. So
mm-hmm.
I have that's a little hard to wrap your head around because, you know, prices always kind of go faster than you think is reasonable.
Yeah, that's
but
for
the
sure.
The reality is gas is this much and supplies are this much and, you know, electricity is a lot more than.
Oh, good Lord, yeah.
You know, there was in.
Well, we don't have to let this go 15 years to look at it again and make changes, right?
Well, yeah, it's the kind of thing that probably should be looked at, you know, should be on somebody's ticker file and looked at again in, you know, maybe every few years or something.
Yeah, we're kind of finding that with everything.
Yeah.
So,
like especially our 1970s stuff. That's
so I don't know if you want any information on as far as an amount that you might put into your recommendation for council. We could talk about the inflation rate. We could talk about, I don't know, seems like that's what applies here, really.
Mm-hmm. So I think first probably do the, I would be comfortable doing the thing, having legal look at this, make any changes and recommendations, and then talk about, because what I would like to know is, or see, is what are they struggling with purchasing right now? How many things are there? What are those things? How often is this coming up?
Well.
That we would need, you know.
Yeah.
Because anytime there's money talk, I'm always super nervous. I'm always like, I think so. I'm more afraid to to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing when it comes to money. So, but I guess I would just like to know, like, what are they struggling with, and what's something that they've seen that's now gone over their spending amount that they need regularly that this would really help out with.
Okay. Well, I could look up, probably pull together some examples.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So what things are...
Don't spend too, like, a ton of time on it, but just, you know, a little bit, just so that we can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's my big thing to, exactly, to give the city administrator $30,000, to me, is just like, you know, I mean, because it's $30,000.
And he's more probably like, but really, because we don't see that
no.
You know, all the time, everything. He's probably like, that's pocket change compared to what we really need. But I just hear $30,000, and I think my pressure's going through the roof. Like, but, you know, for somebody who's dealing with it every day, it's probably just like, no, this, like, we need this so that I can keep doing what I do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of expenditures that are over $15,000 that are really routine. A lot of these projects and things, of course, a lot of them have gone through council under as part of the contracts or different things, but there's a lot of things that are, you know, $20,000 here or so. Engineers, you know, get a pretty good size check every month.
And Jason has been really good about bringing amounts to council, not necessarily 15,000, but sometimes under, which I really appreciate, and just to let the council know what's going on in the spending amount.
Engineers are a good example because they'll have, the city engineer will typically have a handful of projects all going at once, and those are generally going to be projects that council has approved, but then when you put them all together, it's $5,000-$10,000 for this one and
$10,000
for that one. And then we're paying them $20,000, $30,000, I'd feel a lot better if I didn't have that bill that's kind of on the edge all the time. So that's a really good example.
I'm
trying to think. There's probably some other, you know, contractors and people, but anyway.
No, that makes sense.
So, yeah, I can bring back some examples. Anything else? If you think of anything else, you know, let me know. Like, it would be nice to, you know, bring this or that.
Okay.
So, okay.
That
well,
sounds
I'm
good.
I'm working on that. First of all, I want to make sure that you were in favor of just putting in the time to start working on it.
I think so. I really do. I think that...
If you've got time, Mike.
Yeah, exactly. Don't... Yeah, this is on you. So
getting through budget was
that's huge. I know.
Big,
So, but yeah, I think this is important. 2009 is no. Okay. Anything else on that one? We good? Okay. Fiscal policy for general revenue allocations update.
Okay. So this is the minimum fund balance discussion. You know, it started in Budget Committee, and Jason wanted me to bring it to this committee. So as you recall, there was that discussion when staff was proposing changes that affected the ending general fund balance. We were bringing it down to you know, a lower level than what the fiscal policy is for the minimum fund balance. So I don't remember if it was stated at Budget Committee, but you know, both him and I knew that, okay, that means that we would need to look at that policy. At least if unless council really felt it was just a temporary thing. But there was also that discussion about how much should we have in reserves and things. So I started doing some kind of thinking about it and pulled together quite a bit. So if I bog down the conversation too much, just wave or I don't know. But so this only pertains to the non-departmental section, and it's that fiscal policy which I attached that talks about, it's actually pretty short and sweet. I think it was the first attachment. It's that one that says, let's see, I want to make sure I'm reading this right. Wait a minute, I want to make sure I'm not, mixing these up. A second. Yeah, that's kind of, yeah, I am actually starting down the wrong road here. I should have named this better. You know, it's the general revenue allocation. In fact, I did my notes in backwards order. Okay. Now I'm straight again.
Okay.
So switch gears here. We're talking about the general revenue allocation. So franchise fees, other taxes that are allocated. And that chart that was changed by, at the request of Budget Committee, that one there, attachment B. And you already saw these B and C, you already saw those in Budget Committee. Mm-hmm. So I gave those to you. I also added, well, you saw, actually I don't remember if I gave you both of these, but I gave you the before and after, after and before, actually, in that order. So the point here was that the amount being allocated to each department was not changing. It was just the method that this is, that these are allocated. So I think, so we're not asking, or we don't need to change the actual fiscal policy, which is attachment A, because that fiscal policy doesn't get into the details of what those percentages are. It's the high level policy that just says, this is what council does with those fees, and that they can be changed. There is a provision in here that council reviews them every 5 years. And you may remember council did review them. We've made a couple of changes over the years, but I think the last official review just based on this policy was, you know, probably 5 years ago. So, but I would consider this change through Budget Committee a review though. So, because that was talked about. And if you want to just suggest that the changes, I think the direction that I'm looking for is just that if you want to go forward and just acknowledge that, yes, council should approve this change as it was proposed by Budget Committee, you know, I think that's all that's required.
So I'm confused on the streets. And this might have been the one I missed, because I had to miss one meeting in budget.
That's right, I think.
So I'm seeing that streets was like on attachment mm-hmm. B, 38.04, and then streets isn't on attachment C, but it does say street fund 50% of franchise fees.
Yeah, so the original calculation was 50% of franchise fees went to streets. Well, the concern discussed at Finance Committee was, I don't know, and there was one member in particular that really just wanted to see what is the entire bucket and how much, what percentage does each department get? Because the way this calculation was originally, you carved out streets first, set it aside, and then you allocated with these percentages that are on attachment C.
Out of what was left?
Out of what was left.
Okay.
And those percentages, like 72% to police and things, mm-hmm. those were decided, you know, back then. I mean, we have adjusted them slightly over the years, but the original 74% to police was decided at that time, and it was, and those percentages were that percentage of what's left. So what it doesn't show you, what I think is was the focus of the discussion at Budget Committee, is, well, okay, but how much, what percentage is police really getting of the entire pot?
Mm-hmm.
And with the way it's presented, that's not apparent. But the new presentation, which Budget Committee seemed to like, showed that police would be getting 44.59%. So you notice that the amounts on these two charts for each department did not change. The request was the presentation and that those percentages would be calculated. I basically just went backwards and figured out, okay, so how much is police, the police percentage actually of the whole pot? So that's, it was just a change in presentation, but everybody seemed to like it.
Yeah, yeah. A little bit clearer than, it's all, this is the whole pie right here. It's not 50% goes directly to streets before anything else is calculated. It's, here it is right here. This is what's going on.
And this is only, keep in mind, this is only franchise fees, other taxes like cigarette tax, liquor tax, those things. This is not property taxes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, yeah. It's just.
Because it only, the issue with streets only affected this allocation.
Okay.
Streets doesn't get property taxes.
Right.
Can I ask the clarifying, is the whole policy just on the franchise fees, or is just these two charts? Does that comment apply to just the charts or the whole policy?
You mean about property taxes?
Yeah, that it's property taxes aren't included in these numbers. Is it the whole policy?
Yeah, property taxes don't have anything to do with this.
Okay.
I was just making that point.
Okay.
There's another allocation for property taxes by itself.
So are you needing anything specific from us on that tonight?
Huh?
Just like a...
Just to be able to...
Just a...
Yeah.
Yes, I would go... just take it to council and... I mean, the approval really is of this chart, that these percentages, this presentation is approved, so...
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
Yep. It works. Yep.
Okay, great. Trying to stay on the right track.
Okay. Now we will go to fiscal policy for general fund balance.
Okay. Now back to where I started. So the fiscal policy for general fund balance, so that pertains, let's see. It wouldn't hurt to update some of the language on some of these things too. The attached fiscal policy, so if you go to page 5, so it's attachment A, I think. Yeah, attachment A. That's all of the city's fiscal policies, and I attached the entire document in case you had any questions about other ones that maybe kind of relate to this. But on page 5, I highlighted the general fund slash non-departmental minimum fund balance. So this only pertains to non-departmental, but it is the calculation is based on the entire general fund. So when we made up the minimum fund balance policies, these were developed over a few years, I believe. I remember there was an initial discussion and council worked all these out. So we ended up with, you have departmental minimum fund balance. So like police has a minimum fund balance based on their budgeted personnel services and M&S. Add them together, take them times 15%, and that's their minimum fund balance. And that's in here as number four in that section. And then you notice that utility funds have a different percentage, and internal services fund has a percentage, also 15%. Utilities is 25%. So then at the time, the feeling was that there still needed to be an additional amount in general fund that was non-specific to a department, and that's what this non-departmental is. At the time, the council chose 35% of all budgeted expenditures, exclusive of transfers and contingency. So if you take all of the personnel costs and M&S, add them together, there's $6.1 million in the general fund. So that's police, pool, parks, finance, admin, excuse me, all added together, and then times that 35%. Now, at Budget Committee, this is where we talked about, Budget Committee chose to approve reducing that ending fund balance in favor of certain expenditures, and there was discussion about how much money should be, in a minimum fund balance, in that reserve, so to speak. So this is a follow-up to that discussion. Also, the other reserve that you should, just as a reminder, that you should be aware of, so there's the departmental reserves or minimum fund balance. And you do hear me refer to those, that minimum fund balance, like when I'm talking about the monthly financials, I may say, so the ending fund balances or reserves all add up to this amount. Well, to me, all of that ending fund balance that's not appropriated, not spent, carries over, that's all a reserve. So you have different levels of reserves in the city, and that's what this policy, wraps its arms around. So you have this, so back to non-departmental. So you have that reserve, you have the operating department's reserve, and then you also have a budget stabilization reserve, which doesn't get talked about a lot, but that's one of the policies in here. And that is generally thought of, and I'm talking about in finance across other cities, that's what you would call like a rainy day emergency fund. Mm-hmm. So it's not really for if council decides to approve a police project. That's really for train derails, flood City Hall, and you have to spend money on an emergency, basis to keep things operating. So that's an emergency. Now, council can use it for lesser emergencies, like, maybe there's some kind of great need that's really important to keeping the police department operating, or water or something. Council can access that, but it's still going to rise to probably an emergency kind of level. So you have that. So operating, non-departmental, which supports the general fund, and then this budget stabilization. So keep that in mind. So remember I mentioned that 6.1 million is the current personal services, and M&S. You take 35% of that current policy, you get $2.1 million. If you took a lesser amount, say 20%, you know, that'd be like $1.2 million. So hold on to those numbers. If, for example, the minimum fund balance just for non-departmental was reduced to 20%, the $1.2 million, that minimum fund balance would, across all the departments, across the general fund, would still be, would still total 34%, which is a pretty high number as far as minimum fund balance policies. If you look at other cities, when I did the research, and it has been 10 years, so I would have to update this, but the range was more like 15 to 25%.
Mm.
So if you're thinking in terms of how much money should the city hold on to and not spend for services, you know, that's the question here. That's the policy question. So let's see. The other thing too, Jason and I talked about this, that, you know, part of the reason we feel that the 35% was chosen was because back then the city had a whole lot less in reserves. When I started here, the reserves were almost non-existent. I mean, they were pretty small. You know, yeah, the police department probably had $100,000 or $200,000 maybe left over at the end of the year. You know, some departments, community services, library, probably had none or very little. So reserves were almost non-existent to really call them reserves. So at that time, so we kind of felt like, just in our discussion, that was part of the reason for choosing the 35%, which seems like, I mean, compared to other cities, it seems like a high number. Let's see, what other numbers do I have here? Under the current policies, the total minimum fund balance, including the non-departmental and those funds, departments, would be over a little over $3 million. So the question kind of in my mind is that really duplication? Because you got a calculation in non-departmental is 35% of these expenditures, and then each department is the same calculation. Like police, it's 15% of all of their M&S plus personal services. So you've got the same input going into these two different reserve requirements. And really best practices really just talks about, you know, choose a percentage. If you want 20% of your total M&S and personal services in a fund, you know, there you go, 25%, which is around, 30%, let's say, would be around 2 months of expenditures, because you spend about 15%. No, I'm sorry, double that. 15% would be around 2 months. So if you wanted 3 months, you know, maybe that would be 23 to 25%. So I think, anyway, if you followed all that, I think that's the question, is how much really does the city need to have in reserves? Jason and I talked about in terms of a recommendation of 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So that would give you 20% plus all of the minimum requirements, minimum fund balance requirements in all the departments, which they have 15 now, about 2 months worth of expenditures. So that's the question, if I haven't lost you.
Just a little bit, but
yeah,
I'm still following. Just
well, ask me questions, and I'll try and circle back. And
so the recommendation would be to go from 35% to 20%.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
No, go ahead. Yeah, I'll let you finish.
No, I forgot what I was going to say. And that would leave 2 months worth of expenditures for like the police department, public works, is that everybody? Community service?
We're only talking about general fund here.
Okay.
Really, the non-departmental. So this was, so non-departmental is just a general minimum fund balance that supports the entire general fund.
So what happens to the other, that the difference in the 20 to 35%, what happens to that money?
You mean anything we have above our minimum fund balance? Okay, well, that happens all the time because you have, you know, maybe the minimum fund balance for, I don't know, water is $400,000. Well, you know, maybe their ending fund balance is really $700,000. Well, the $700,000 in cash carries over to the beginning, you know, of your next budget year. So anything above that, this is just a policy. You know, it's not a real number actually, but it is a number that they can shoot for and say, okay, when I budget, I have to end up with this much. So in their planning, you know, they adjust expenditures or revenue or whatever they need to do to make sure that they end up with that. So it's a target.
Okay.
It would be like a safeguard for each department and in the general fund so that nobody goes broke in 1 year, basically, right? That if you couldn't pay, if something catastrophic happened, that you would be able to take care of for at least a couple of months.
Yeah, there's that aspect of it, like catastrophes. But there's also kind of what's a reasonable amount for the police department to carry over?
Yeah.
And it's probably not $25,000. So then what do you set as a policy to tell them, okay, you need to aim for something higher than $25,000, you need to aim for $300,000 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this policy defines that. And because departments need a guidance, you know, some kind of guidelines.
Right.
Something to aim for. So they may budget, you know, yes, you're really used to talking about personnel costs and are they going up or down or M&S, are they too high, too low, whatever. But part of that exercise for staff is that it comes out to an ending fund balance. You have $100,000 to start with and you're going to spend this much, or you're going to get this much in revenue and you're going to spend this much and you got this much left over. Well, you have to define what that leftover amount is, what they have to end the year on. You can't just let them, like, you know, if they decided they were just going to spend the entire amount, they can't end up at zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have cash carry over.
Okay.
But anyway.
So you guys think that 20%?
Well, here's the last thing I'll say. Keep in mind that Budget Committee has already made adjustments to the approved budget that brings the general fund. Actually, I wrote down those numbers. It actually came out very close. The approved budget ending fund balance is $1.2 million, $1,227,000, and 20%, I believe, was $1,231,000. So within $4,000.
Wow.
Of that. So, but again, you're only talking about a reserve that supports all the departments in the general fund. It's not the primary, you know, reserve or ending fund balance, because each department is required to have their own.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So it's kind of a big, you know, bubble thing to try and get in your head. You know, I realize that. But, you know, for finance, it's great discussion. Because staff needs the direction. We need the policies to be able to operate. And there was some good discussion at Budget Committee about how much should the city, you know, hold of the citizens' money. And it's not unique to Junction City. I've heard that in reading about other cities.
Yeah, that was.
So if you want any more information, I can dig up whatever you want. If you want to recommend changing the policy to the staff recommendation or some other percentage.
I'm comfortable with your recommendation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And I know, like I say, it was talked about at a budget, and it was a good discussion. There was a lot of good discussion at the budget committee meeting.
Yes, there was. So you'll see this on the agenda for council for Tuesday. Jason wanted to get this on the council's agenda right away since budget, you know, for next year will be on the agenda. So
perfect.
And this really relates to that. So
yeah,
that's why you'll see it with such a quick turnaround. Okay.
Perfect.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Then we'll move to the agenda forecaster.
I didn't really have any comments about it. I didn't. I don't think I added anything to it. There's probably some cleanup here, catch up that needs to be done. I haven't checked in with Kitty or Jason about their items and if they're still coming. I'm thinking there's a couple of things that are going to float up that I'm probably going to ask you to add. But right now the projects, as far as committee related, are the RFPs for the auditor. Mm-hmm. And
the judge,
yeah. So those are in progress.
Okay.
And actually, I did have a comment about the audit RFP. About, if you want to move on to staff comments or wherever that is. So I did some work on this, and I did send this out to legal, that draft that you looked at, and they actually already answered me, so it's sitting in my email. And I did talk to the auditor about it, and realizing the timeline, I'd like to recommend that we plan on issuing the RFP in December after, let the auditors audit this year, and because I started discussing that time frame with the auditor, and you could just tell he was frowning really hard, so over the phone. So, you know, it just wouldn't work. So, but I'd like to continue with the RFP work and get that done.
Yeah.
Council can look at it. Tentatively, I was thinking about bringing it to council in July. So, you know, no reason to hang on to it. But
okay. If
it doesn't quite get done by then, you know, to make December is not a big deal. So, if we issued it about, I'm envisioning the beginning of December, it would be for the first audit under a new contract would be for 24-25. So we have lots of time. I'd like to see it issued, you know, in that December, January time frame, and then hopefully we can get some good quotes.
Yeah, good response. I think that's a good deal. Yeah. If you're happy, we're happy.
Okay.
Well, I may or may not be around, but
Oh yeah.
Mike, don't even talk.
We know.
But we'll do.
You watch your mouth.
But we will get the audit RFP done though.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Don't talk to us like that,
yeah.
Mike.
Just be really careful with your language, Mister.
All up in the air.
Okay. Any committee member comments?
Nope.
I've got nothing. Thank you, Mike. That was great. That's
very welcome.
Yes. Okay, Tiffany, you got anything?
I have a general comment, which has nothing to do with this meeting. It just kind of, I was working at the City of Eugene doing some special projects there, and one of the things that I was doing is kind of like a stopgap. And they did it in Teams, and I know you guys don't use Teams, but it was creating these boards that, so like you could make as many as you needed to, for each like department. So this committee could list all of the policies that they review. They could be in these buckets. And then you can assign those dates to review. And then you can make them reoccurring. And you can, you know, so let's say Mike's the person in charge. So there's all these things here. And then, so if you have a policy that needs to be updated every 5 years, you, it just pops up in an email and on this board, then you can go and look and it's like, you can see it's green for good or red for best too. And so it's just a way to like, to have a visual that anybody could go to or anybody in their group, you know, and just look at and see and have reminders of things like these policies that you established in 2009 with the expectation of updating them every 5 years, but life happens and then all of a sudden you've got a policy that hasn't really been looked at in 12 or 13 years. And so it was just, it was kind of an exciting tool for them. And just in that process, we actually caught like two contracts that were almost going to expire. And so that we were able to, because you know what, if you just extend it, it's way easier than the whole process of recreating. So we caught a couple things like that. And then the idea was that it would prevent things like that from happening. And like, it's a, just like a, an easy central place for like bullet points with reminders of when things are ready to be reviewed. So I don't know if that's something that like groups like this would like to look at. It's not hard to set up, and like maybe that's like some strategic long-term thinking. And then, so when Mike decides he wants to retire, then the next person comes in and they still have access to all of the things. They don't need Mike's brain. It's all there. It almost looks like, you know, like a chart that you see, like a, it's a flow chart, but with dates and stuff in it that automatically populates and somebody gets an email reminder. So this is an option that's out there for things like this that, I'm just letting you guys
we
know.
We use something similar at Teams, too, for the state, where we do that with our cases, and so we know where we're, I wouldn't say so we know where we're at, so we all know how far behind we are. To be honest. But yeah, I think I find it as a helpful tool. It sounds exactly how you explained it. We just use it for something different, but because I do think we have let along a lot of things go way beyond, like way beyond, and it's just we need to stay on top of this way better. And we've started that, which is good. But
yeah, we've come a long way.
Yeah.
It used to be we had nothing.
Yeah.
But it seems like sometime after Jason started in this position, he's been developing a lot of those. I mean, some things like contracts is tracked by Kitty. She has a big spreadsheet that tracks all contracts in the entire city. And I get emails when things are like 6 months in advance when contracts are expiring. The judge's contract, and you're going to need to, you know, take that committee, and they're going to tell me, do we need to issue an RFP, or are we going to, you know, roll over the current contract? So that part is taken care of. The part that's not taken care of are things like finance, kind of the big picture in finance. Everything from budget to audit, I mean, there's a lot of recurring things. And unfortunately, I've been developing a system to track that probably since I started, but I have worried really about how am I gonna pass that off, you know, to the next person. So a lot of it's in our procedures and things. But you know who, my comment though is really, you know who you need to talk to? You need to talk to Kitty and Jason.
Really? But yeah, just like, it's a tool. And then it's not written in a policy, right? You don't have to search through notebooks to find what you're supposed to do it. It's just, it's a skeleton structure and easy to look at for.
Yeah, because like Andy said, we've been behind on contracts, in all kinds of things, and that would be helpful to all of us, for sure. It's a good idea.
Yeah, you really should.
I can bring it to
That would be a great project.
Mm-hmm.
Using some tool, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know how it works in Teams, I'm not that familiar with Teams, but some software or something that could organize all those things.
I'll tell you, we use Teams at State, and like, it keeps me on track for everything, you know, like not just communication, quick communications, don't quite warrant an email, but just, you know, like quick little chats or something that we need to do, but like the calendar and then there's a lot of different things that you can do, but like, yeah, stuff that's overdue. How many days are you overdue? And then after a year, it doesn't go by days anymore, it goes by years. And you can color code them. And apparently my favorite color is red, because everything's in red. like red flags. But, you know, it's a good tool, and you can kind of, I think you can customize it. I don't get to have any say. They've done it for me, and it's easy to learn, and it's pretty self-explanatory, like once somebody's customized it for you. And
yeah. I actually use the main program that I've used is Microsoft Tasks over the last probably 5 years. There are some things that kind of annoy me about it, but it does a good job of letting you enter all these to-do things. You can make it a recurring, you can give it I have things that are annual, and it will pop up every year on whatever date I tell it, June 15th, you know, prepare for auditors or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can color code them any way you want or categorize them. I have things categorized by like court, finance, you know, this committee, all those kind of things. So that works pretty well. But what you're talking about is bigger, you know, where I would imagine you'd have the same kind of thing, but each department can have their, you know, public work stuff. And
department could look at it as opposed to just being on your computer.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That way, if you leave they wipe your computer, that information just stays, and you just change the person out as it is.
Yeah. Well, I thought about how, in fact, just today, how would I hand off that Microsoft to-do program to a new person?
Yeah, so you can't leave until you...
Yeah, that has to be taken care of.
We'll keep you busy so you can't.
Would you like me to put that in the agenda forecast for you?
We'll just keep you busy and then you'll have time to figure it out.
You need to talk to Jason, maybe even individually, to see what their feelings are on it. But really, those are the two to start with.
Okay.
And if you can sell them on it,
mm-hmm.
you're golden.
Okay. Yeah. It's a great idea.
It's a great tool.
Are we adjourned, by the way?
Oh, sorry.
Because I could...
Recording stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess we are.
Wait a second. We didn't adjourn on the recording. So you want to do that?
I adjourn this meeting.
No.
Hold on now.
Come on. Start.
Recording in progress.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting.
Recording stopped.
Good idea. That's great.